most people probably don't know what goes into getting a tag on such a large creature, though. How does that work?
Well, I mean, it sort of depends on what style of tag you're putting on. But in our case, we put in their implantable tags. So we have to come up alongside the whale, typically about 6 to 8 feet away. And then we have an air-powered applicator that we use to put the tag on the whale's back, preferably close to the midline, so it's up high and about 3 feet or so forward of the dorsal fin. And that means, or that lets the tag come out of the water every time the whale comes up to breathe. Because these tags are satellite tags, they need to transmit up to the satellite for us to get information from them. And they can't transmit through water. So we have to put them on in a place where they're sure to come out of the water as much as possible.
It basically sticks in their back. And
it's an implantable tag, but the end still stays out with the antenna, so it can send a message up. And then it slowly over time, the drag of the water and just the movement of the whale causes it to work its way out, a lot like a sliver if you get one. And eventually it falls off and sinks and then heals up.
And typically it's attached to an animal for how long? It's a good length of time.
It's really variable. We've had on different species tags that lasted well over a year. More typically, it's kind of 3 to 6 months would be a normal to fairly good deployment.
Were you spreading out your tags over groups or all together in one group or different age classes, or what was your goal?
Well, really, I mean, the goal actually what we're looking at is migratory timing and routes and destinations of the whales. So we weren't too picky about which whales we were trying to tag. And so that was actually the reason we're here so late in the season, is because we want to try and get them, you know, just right before they go on their migration so that we have the best chance to capture as much of that migration as we can.
So, and I understand they already are heading out, some of the ones you've tagged. Are you already getting data back?
Or? Yeah. These tags are, as soon as they hit the water or as soon as the whale goes under after the tag's been applied, they start transmitting. They transmit for 4 one-hour periods every day, and then a satellite has to be overhead to collect the data. But yeah, we're already hearing from all of the tags, and some of them, two of them are already, I don't know the exact distance, but it's at least a few hundred miles, you know, out in the ocean on the way to Hawaii, and a few more are, you know, out into Chatham Straits or a little bit south of there. So some of them are already on their way.
We already know that these creatures make this migration. What are you hoping to find out with this tagging?
Well, it's really more, like I mentioned, about the timing. You know, when do they leave? When do they arrive at the breeding grounds, which is Hawaii, or typically it's Hawaii? How long do they stay there? You know, the answer to those questions let us look at or do a better job of sort of assessing the population size. So people are in Hawaii surveying the whales there, and if a whale is only staying for 3 weeks and then leaving versus staying for 6 weeks, that could give them a different picture of how many whales might be there. So they might be undercounting whales if the whales are only staying there for a short period of time before leaving. And then another thing we're looking at is migratory routes. Do they all take the same route? Do they go different ways? Do they stop in the middle somewhere? And then we're also going to be putting out tags in Hawaii to look at the return migration. So we look at, you know, where is their first stop once they get back into this area? Do they come right back into, say, Frederick Sound? Do they find some seamount somewhere that, you know, looks like it has some food, so they get their first meal before they actually arrive? So those are kind of the main questions we're looking at.
What did it look like as a whale researcher from what you saw of the whale populations up there and the conditions out there?
They seemed to be pretty fat and happy as far as I could tell. Yeah, there were a lot of very, very large whales, you know, very, you know, just broad and, you know, really hefty looking, you know, healthy looking, I should say. And I mean, it was actually kind of interesting. In Seymour Canal, we found a lot of whales that were actually sleeping in the afternoon. It seemed like they were more active in the morning. We saw a lot of surface lunge feeding. There was lots of krill around, lots of food. But then in the afternoon, it seemed to kind of settle down. And yeah, there were lots of whales that were just laying there quietly at the surface, not moving and just taking a nap, apparently.
Okay. What else should we tell people in the listening audience about your research?
You know, the goals to look at migratory timing and, you know, arrival and departure times and how long they spend. We'll also get some information about, you know, before they leave, of, you know, how many different areas the whales visit locally before before heading out on their migration. So that'll be this kind of late season movements actually could be kind of interesting because, you know, there's the food isn't as plentiful now as it was in the summertime. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what spots seem to have some forage for them. And then I think the other potential interesting thing is, from what I understand, some of these whales may not migrate. So, you know, that's going to be luck of the draw for us if we happen to get one that, that doesn't migrate. But that might actually be just as interesting as the ones that do, just to see where the whale would spend its winter and, you know, whether it stays in one spot or whether it still continues to visit different areas around the southeast here. You know, all of our work is reviewed by Natural Marine Fisheries Service. We've been, you know, we have to go through an extensive review by them and by veterinarians before we get the permits that allow us to do this work, to approach the whales closely and to put these tags on so that they ensure that we're using the best practices to make sure that we're not, you know, causing any undue harm to the whales and that we're, you know, operating in a safe manner.